is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
Tonight, I just want to take you away. Throw your hands up in the sky. Let's set this party on fire.
This is Mark Weber. This is business. And this is Always in Fashion. And tonight, I'm going to discuss success, because success is always in fashion. Tonight, I've been thinking about how fortunate I have been professionally. I have been fortunate. Some might say lucky. I'd say it's interesting to note that the harder I've worked, the luckier I've gotten. I've done extraordinarily well. I am an acquired taste. I don't know how you feel about me telling you that. I'm a student of human nature, though, and I've been watching the people as I tell them my story, my history. And it's, not necessarily received the way I thought it would be. I can't quite tell whether my story on the American dream, really, humble beginnings, growing up in the city projects and rising to the rank of CEO of two of the largest corporations in my fashion, luxury, and retail industry, is being received the way I envisioned it should. If I step back and look at what has happened to me, I think it's a story of marvel, really inspirational, amazing how I became successful. Not quite rags to riches, but I can tell you I wasn't supposed to have this career. No connections, no Fortune 500 internships, no relatives traced back to the Mayflower. Just a kid wanted to learn and achieve the American dream. Success in America.
John Houseman for the investment firm of Smith Barney.
Good investments don't walk up, bite you on the bottom, and say, "We're here." Finding them takes good old-fashioned hard work. Research. The kind they do at Smith Barney. Smith Barney is among a handful of top investment firms singled out for their work in research. Smith Barney. They make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
Now, I could care less about Smith Barney, but I do believe in the slogan. I made myself successful the hard way. I earned it. And as I tell my story and I look back at the faces I'm telling it to, yes, I see some wonderment. I see something exciting in some of the young people's eyes. As I do look at my accomplishments, I also see unpleasantness. Perhaps envy. That's a terrible state. Perhaps even jealousy, which is worse. I wonder if I also see anger. Why would that be? And I suppose I also see disbelief and despair. Does this opportunity still exist in America? The answer is yes, absolutely. You see it every day, particularly in New York City. I will never, never be embarrassed by my success. I will never, never, ever apologize for my success. Bernie Sanders aside, I will never believe this country, our capitalist system, isn't the best in the world for opportunity. So many lives were lost, so many lives destroyed, so many countries ruined with the socialism experiment. Capitalism is the best that it can possibly be. Even when you look at China, they talk about two systems with one government. There's the capitalist empire that's building in China that's fueling their growth and their excitement and the opportunity for the people. And there's still the communism and the Communist Party that overrules it all. But it's working. That's what's generating the growth and the excitement coming out of China. I believe in success. Do you? Do you out there? Are you looking for it? Are you proud to find it? Do you want it? Do you believe in success? I must tell you, I'm concerned. I'm concerned with what's going on in the schools, what we're teaching our students, our children. I visited enough of them when my book was released. I did the obligatory book tour. I went back to Brooklyn College, my alma mater. That was disappointing. Government institutions, what are they teaching? Look, I went to Brooklyn College. I talked to these people. I was from them. I came from Brooklyn, from their neighborhood. But when I talked to those students, I saw anger. I saw unhappiness. And I saw disbelief in the American dream. I hope I'm wrong. You can't be successful waiting for someone to hand you success. You have to go out and earn it the hard way. Look, I've had an extraordinary career to date, and now I'm on the radio talking business, careers, luxury, and life. I'm not going to apologize for my success, because I do realize that on the one hand, rank has its privileges. That's why we work. But rank also has its responsibilities. And tonight's show, R-H-I-P, rank has its privileges. That's what I'm choosing to talk about tonight. Tonight will be a fun look at the privilege and responsibility of success. Speaking of rank having its privileges, the ranking lawyer, millennial, and co-host of Always in Fashion, Jesse Weber. Jesse, speaking of success and responsibility, what do you got to think about this one?
And listening to this, I actually thought about me as a lawyer and how hard it was for me to get to become a lawyer, to become an attorney. Law school was very challenging. 3 years of law school studying nonstop. And just at the end of it, you think it's the conclusion of studying. And then you remember you have to take the bar exam, which is where you shut off from society for 2.5 months. You don't see anybody. You don't talk to anybody. You're just in the library studying. And it all culminates on one exam that determines really the fate of whether or not you will become a lawyer. So it's a lot of responsibility.
So you're happy you did all of that?
I love the title. So there are a lot of people who are not so happy with the legal profession. They get kind of burnt out. They have their own problems. The title is what I really love, the rank of attorney. I love that, because when you start a conversation, you say, hey, I'm an attorney. Oh, excuse me. It gives people a pause.
Well, I'm very proud of you that you have this attorney title. I'm very proud of you starting your career. It looks nice. But while we're on the subject of rank and having its privileges, which is the theme of tonight's show, I have been told that you out there need to know who your host is. And it's been quite some time since we talked about how I got to where I got.
Who is Mark Weber?
Very good. You know the whole thing?
Yeah. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. I could keep doing it, but...
That's great. You know what really upsets me? And that's what I got to thinking about this subject. When you hear our politicians talking about hard-working Americans, what they want to do for the hard-working Americans, and I can tell you and I can promise you, they're not talking about me. You see, America's creating some kind of class system right now, and someone like me, who started working at 14 years old and never stopped since, isn't a hard-working American because I'm successful, and that's why I'm not apologizing at all. If I'm not a hard-working American, then who is? It bothers me that I'm segregated from hard-working Americans because I'm successful. I'm the bad guy. I don't deserve a break. I pay more taxes than you can possibly imagine. And even if I didn't, just think of this. 39% federal tax, 8.5% state tax, FICA, Medicare, real estate taxes, town taxes, and everything I purchase with the money I left over is taxed. Food, gas, clothes, even the interest for my savings that I've saved is taxed. I've never been in a cash business. I've always been a salaried employee. So I have nowhere to hide. What comes in gets taxed. I don't get money hidden, unthing. I pay taxes. I get a bonus check. I'll tell you, I got a bonus check when I was with LVMH. An amazing check for a job well done. I took a company that never made profit, and I made extraordinary profits, and I got a great bonus check. When I saw what they took out of taxes, now my office at the time for this particular division, it was a corner office on the 18th floor, surrounded in windows that opened. It was an older building. I opened the windows after receiving the bonus check and seeing the taxes and screamed out, "I hope you're happy out there because I just paid for all of you to do whatever you're doing."
And then somebody downstairs goes, "Thanks."
Nobody said anything. The point is, in today's environment, some politicians are trying to create a class war. That's because they have no class and they have no shame. I am not appreciated as a hard-working American. But yet, I am not ashamed of my success. I did it the old-fashioned way. I earned it. However, I do recognize that with success comes responsibility. And more importantly, as we talk tonight, we have to understand that business and careers in this show have to be precise when we discuss it. If you are in a position of rank which has all its privileges, you also have power. And with that power comes responsibility.
Peter, remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, with great power comes great responsibility. Spider-Man knows it, do you? Any one of you out there, you're responsible for the people you work for. This company has privileges when you're successful. Great ones. Doctors get the best parking spots. Lawyers beat their parking tickets. Money buys first-class seats. I believe these privileges are there for everyone. I dedicate this show to the premise that anyone could be successful in America. It's not easy. You have to want it. You have to make sacrifices. You have to make smart choices. And you have to create the best you. And for it, privileges. Tonight, the show is entitled RHIP, Rank Has Its Privileges. And I'll tell you what, I am so confident in the concept for this show because in spite of the nuts, in spite of the politicians, in spite of the talk of socialism and the confidence in our system, I believe we have a great future. You know why? Because millennials want great futures. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Whipple. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserve to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. We're talking business success right now. I talked earlier and I'll talk again. I'm not going to ever apologize for my success. I will never, ever, ever apologize for my success. I worked too hard to get there. And yet there's a momentum in the country right now where I hope it's turning around, where success is applauded, where people want it. I have faith in the future because I know millennials want success. I can tell. I can see it by talking to them all the time. They're looking for a quicker route. They want to get there quick and easy. It doesn't exist. Wait, it might if you're a Kardashian. Yeah, but success has its rewards. It's not easy. But let me just summarize for you where I was before so that we could all get back on the same page. I've had a great career. I've worked hard to achieve it. It has brought me privileges. I will never apologize for my success. I believe in the capitalist system. It is the only one that has ever worked in the history of mankind. I have faith in the future. Now, why, you may ask, I'm telling you again, young people, they want to succeed. They know a good thing when they see it. So tonight's show is Rank Has His Privileges. And with it comes very important responsibility. My favorite millennial right now happens to be here, Jesse Weber.
What I think I'm the think only millennial. I think I'm the only millennial you actually know.
Yes. I have a question for you.
Okay.
A serious question. I come from humble beginnings. You know that. I've talked about that all the time. Began at the bottom like everyone else and worked my way up. Do you ever feel that I behave as a pompous moron?
No. No. Never. You know, I came about when you were already at the – when I say I was born, already when you were pretty established in your company. By the time I could realize what was happening, I wasn't around for the years of when you were working up the ladder – to become successful. I didn't see any of that. And you and Mommy made it very clear to both Jared and I that we can't judge you by where we see you today because you weren't around for all of that. So it's not fair to look at you and be like, oh, well, I want that. Or, oh, you have the right to say X, Y, and Z because of this. That's not the way to say it because we didn't see the hard work. We didn't see the determination. We didn't see the years of struggle, the late hours, anything like that. We saw you weren't already established. And you made it very clear to me that there were those times when you worked so hard and made yourself there. And even when you were at the top, you worked incredibly hard. It's not like you were a passive executive. You were working in and out every day making things happen. So I've never – ever seen you like that.
Well, I thank you for that. I'm always worried about it. But while we're talking careers and rank, first three words in my book, do you remember what they were?
For the readers.
Only in America. Then I got into it because I thought about it. I wrote the book to talk about how I got successful. There were so many lessons along the way, but I'm going to give you two right now. The first lesson you need to know for success in life and business, be the best you. Be the best you. Life is not fair, but you need to compete. Maybe it's not fair, but you need to. You need to dress the part. You don't know how to dress the part? Look at your bosses. You have to speak well. But equally important, you have to present your ideas well. Writing, with texting, Twitter, everything. You have to be an accomplished writer. Getting your point across in writing is critically important. And your attitude and personality need to be right. People want to be around happy people. That's the first lesson. Those few things I just detailed for you are the formula for success. Jesse, was that clear?
Can you repeat number two again?
You're a wise guy. Number two, I said there were two things in total that I wanted to teach you, okay? You know why I was successful? I was successful because of the Godfather symbol. Like my impression?
That was actually the best impression you've done in quite some time.
I never wanted this for you, Jesse.
Okay.
I thought when your time would come, Senator.
Can you do Scarface for the listeners? Because your Scarface sounds Jamaican.
Who put this thing together? Me. That's who.
And who are you?
You ever look at the symbol of the Godfather? What it is, it took me a while to realize, it's marionette strings. It's got that wooden handle with the strings hanging down, symbolizing that the Godfather was in control. He had the power. He was manipulating the strings. That whole movie, just in general, on a night we're talking Rank Has His Privileges, the Godfather was pretty much living a life, but he also felt the burden of responsibility to his family and the people that he had that were loyal to him. That's an aside. If you want to be successful in business, you have to be in control. That's what I realized. I started off young and people were telling me what to do. I didn't mind it. It bothered me they had more information than me. And it made it clear to me if I want to be the one holding those strings, then I have to have information. It also bothered me that people would edit my work. I was a designer, I had great ideas, at least I thought, and yet someone else would put the finger up or down like in the Colosseum, telling me, yes, that's okay, or no, it wasn't. And the reason they were able to do it was they had the rank, and the reason they had the rank is they had the information. The second lesson I want to teach you tonight on being successful in America is the more information, the more you learn, the better chance you'll have for success. You could be great at your particular job, in your particular field. You could be the best there is that can be. But the person sitting next to you who's good or great at what they're doing, the same thing you're doing, if they also know the other disciplines in business, they're going to win. I made it my business to understand information technology, to understand warehouse and distribution, to understand manufacturing. Not just to understand design. I made it my business to learn about finance and how companies look at finance. I made it my business to learn about marketing. I learned every discipline. And in fact, if I became a CEO, if I've had the success I'm talking about tonight, it's because I learned all those other things beyond what I knew how to do well. In my first 25 years at the company, I had 25 different assignments. I just kept moving, growing, and learning. Who can compete with that? I'll tell you, no one. From clerk to CEO, that's what the story is. I'm going to take a break now. We'll come back. And remember, what we're talking about tonight is rank has its privileges, and with those privileges come great responsibility.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand, made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof, the best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
As long as you love me, I don't care.
This is Mark Weber. I'm talking about success tonight on this show. I'm talking about my success, and I'm talking about rank has its privileges. And with those privileges come important responsibilities. I'll never apologize for my success. And those of you out there who have had your own, don't apologize. Regardless of what the political climate is, nobody gave you anything. You worked hard to get it. You deserve to enjoy those privileges. And now I want to have a fun time. Reminding you first and foremost the reason you have success in the end, the reason you have these privileges, because rank has its privileges, is all about performance. Everyone wants to hear what you have to say. Everyone wants to know you're doing the right thing. I've had some great times in business. I've been honored by the industry twice, black tie dinners. My family was there. The industry, my company stood up and said what a great guy I was. And it meant the world to me, particularly in front of my family. But it never mattered in the end unless the companies I worked for, the stock in their company would go up. You are being paid to make a company successful. You share in that success. That's capitalism. But don't forget, you have a responsibility. You have to be good. No, you have to be great. The shareholders deserve you being great. Now, having said that, I've had some fun times and some great times. I made a decision 1 year to put a billboard of Yankee Stadium. For 5 years, DKNY was right in center field in Yankee Stadium. Jess, you remember those years?
Oh, those years were fantastic.
Not only did we have the billboard in Yankee Stadium in the Supreme section. Do you remember what the section
was? Legends.
The Legends section at Yankee Stadium, where all the box seats were. We named the entire, what's it called?
The Legends section, the DKNY Lounge.
The DKNY Lounge, where all the food was. Unbelievable. It's called DKNY.
Unlimited food.
Yeah, for
anything
everyone.
You wanted, as much as you wanted.
That was a privilege. Front row Yankee Stadium. I had four front row seats. Of course, I went when I could, but I had to make sure that everyone in the company got a chance at those seats. I used them to entertain most of the time, if you consider bringing the family. Hey, rank has its privileges. I'm not going to apologize. Company stock was going up. I was making profits through the roof. The French who owned the company loved me. Yeah, I sat front row at Yankee Stadium, and I enjoyed the fact that I put that DKNY billboard there while the Yankees were making progress and we were showing the brand to so many people. It was a great time. Great time. And it was a privilege that I enjoyed. We talked about runway shows before. There is nothing like being in New York Fashion Week, sitting front row at a runway show. Next to the celebrities, all the power brokers. You want to talk about rank has its privileges? You want to get your 2 cents in this one, Jess?
It was awesome. It was great. It's like, oh, hey, Ariana Grande. No big deal. I'm just sitting here, front row. Don't mind me. Anybody want to take a picture?
That's funny. Yeah, that's what it was like. I'll tell you the interesting thing about all the celebrities I met over a 20-year period. I know everything about all of them, but they never once asked me a question.
No, the trick to speaking to a really big celebrity, just keep asking questions about themselves. And guess what? They're happy to talk to you about themselves.
There you go. Well, they have their privileges from their rank, and that's what we're talking about. Do not apologize in America for success. But I have one of my favorite stories of all time, which I don't think I ever told you, Jesse. Would you
really?
Believe that? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It has to do with going to France. My first trip after I got the job with Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy. I worked for a French luxury conglomerate, the largest luxury conglomerate in the world. It's about $50 billion of sales a year. Stores all over the world, brands, unbelievable luxury group from fashion to wine and spirits. I would go to those parties. My goodness, you'd show up and you. Great story. I'm going to change a bit. I'm in France the first time, in Paris, the first time I'm having dinner with the executives from LVMH. I'll never forget this. We walk into the chichi French restaurant. We all sit down. Beautiful table, beautiful everything. I mean, the French invented beautiful eating, beautiful dining. I'm sitting there. I feel like a master of the universe, and I should. This humble guy from Brooklyn sitting with these powerhouse brokers in France who are the representatives and the founders of the greatest luxury company ever assembled. And there we are in this beautiful restaurant. And I'll never forget, the waiter comes over to the president of the company and he says, will you be having your wine tonight?
Your wine.
Yeah, because we own all the brands.
Oh, that's
And that's
great.
How it started with Don Perignon. We all had a toast. Are you going to be having your wine tonight, sir? I love that. Isn't that a perk?
Yeah, that's
pretty cool, right?
Perk.
But my favorite story is my first trip to Paris after I got the job. My administrative assistant, Judy, I said, hey, Judy, I got to go to Paris on this week. Book me a first-class ticket to Paris. I think, let me know what flights there are. And she comes back and she gives me all these flights. And I decide I'll go Air France. Why not? You know, I'm now French. She books a ticket on Air France. I get to the airport. When they hear my name, somebody comes from the back to escort me through customs.
Really?
I couldn't believe it. You know, it's Louis Vuitton, you know, French, Air France. I figure, oh, my goodness, they escort me through, right? No waiting, nothing. They take my passport handed. They look at me. I mean, right through the line, right there. They put me in the first class lounge. They said, we'll be back to get you when the time is right. Just wait for us. We'll come back to get you. Okay? I'm in the lounge having the time of my life. They call the boarding. So I go up. I'm getting a little nervous. Nobody's coming to get me. So I go to the front there. And Monsieur, Miss, nobody's picking me up. I was told I was going to be picked up. Monsieur Weber, you just wait. We don't want you having to deal with the riffraff. We're going to get you on after everybody is seated. You'll come on. You'll be ready. Nice. So sure enough, everybody boards. Somebody comes from behind. Beautiful stewardess and someone else. And they escort me out to the plane. There's no one standing there. If there were, I felt that they would knock them down like in one of those movies. Get out of the way. And they escort me to my own cubicle on Air France First Class. Nobody's even near me. Frankly speaking, to be perfectly honest, I'm the only one in first class. I'm thinking LVMH cleared the flight for me.
See, I thought they were like, Monsieur Weber, you are going to pilot the plane today.
Amazing. So I'm feeling like the king of the world. You know, it's really, you talk about rank and privileges. Here I am. The group is really taking care of me. These guys at LV. The plane lands, pulls up to the gate. Two representatives come from off the plane to escort me to a private car right downstairs from the first class steps. I mean, everybody's waiting, watching me walk off the plane.
Right? They probably wondered who you were.
I wondered who I was. You know, come on, Aaron, because it's privileges. That's the show. But anyway, I'm escorted. There's a limo waiting right there. Okay? Someone from customs takes my passport, goes through the things, and takes me right through customs to a limousine waiting outside. You want to talk about rank? Amazing. So you can picture this? Not only was it comfortable, not only was it prestigious, but now I'm feeling like, oh my gosh, do you believe how they're treating me? Boy, these guys at Louis Vuitton love me. It's amazing. Wow. The French know how to live. I go home and I go back to life, you know, and start doing my job. And it's great, you know, big office. I'm doing everything I have to do. And most importantly, like I said before, I'm performing. In my 9 years with LVMH, I had record performance years in every one of those years, and I enjoyed every moment of it. I had to go to France again. So I booked a French ticket again on Air France. I go back and forth, the same treatment. Fast forward about a month later, I have to go back to France and I have to go to London. And I said to my assistant, book me Air France or should I go Air, you know, British Airways? She says, you know, you're going to London first, book British Airways. So I say, tell you what, let's book first class British Airways. So she goes to British Airways, and, you know, I'm thinking, because I always used to fly American Airlines. I asked her, how much is the flight on British Airways? $14,000. I said, what? Are you crazy? $14,000? What, are they nuts? Well, that's what it costs to go on British Airways. So I said, well, then, you know what? Let's fly first to France. I'll take the Air France flight because it's so great to me, you know, and then I'll go from to London from France. How much will that cost? $18,000. I said, what am I in the Twilight Zone? I just made this trip twice. Well, why would I be going for $18,000? So my assistant said to me, what do you think you were paying on the last trips? I said, what are you talking about? She says, your last two trips to France were $18,000 each. I said, you crazy? Why didn't you tell me? She said, why didn't you ask? She's a bigger wise guy than I am. I said, you're telling me I've been going back and forth to $18,000 when the American Airlines are $6,000? She said, yeah. I said, what, you trying to get me fired? I can't believe this. She's silent. I said, what, are you trying to tell me something? She said, you're a big boy. You should know enough to ask what the cost of the flights were. And I didn't want to burst your bubble. You know, you thought you were the king of France going back and forth. So who was I to tell you nobody really cares about you? But when you take a flight for $18,000, that's the way it works.
Good old Judy.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you want to talk about ranking, having some privileges? I think that's a fun story. Having said that, I want to conclude this conversation for the moment on saying to you again, in this country, and probably the rest of the world now, you work hard, you deserve what you earn. With that comes tremendous perks. Rank has its privileges, but it also comes hand in hand with responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And in this case in business, you have to make money for the company you're working for. Because whether it's the banks or any lenders or it's the shareholders, The only reason you are employed by a big company, the only reason, is to make money for the shareholders and stakeholders. And with that in mind, we'll come back talking about rank averages, privileges.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, a shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Whose problem we talking about, Lewis? Yours? You worried about losing your job? Because this poll isn't talking about my presidency. This poll is talking about my life. 264 million people
don't give a damn about your life. They give a damn about their own.
All right, that's enough.
Mr. President, you raised a daughter almost entirely on your own. And she's terrific. So what does it say to you that in the past 7 weeks, 59% of this country has begun to question your family values?
The president doesn't answer to you, Lewis.
Oh, yes, he does, AJ. I'm a citizen. This is my president. And in this country, it is not only permissible to question our leaders, it's our responsibility. But you already know that, don't you, Mr. President? Because you have a deeper love of this country than any man I've ever known. And I want to know what it says to you that in the past 7 weeks, 59% of Americans have begun to question your patriotism. People want leadership, Mr. President, and in the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
This is Mark Weber. And yes, leadership is needed in America, but it's also needed in business. And being that the name of the show is Always in Fashion, I have no choice but to talk about Sears. Sears, Roebuck and Company. This was a family that established a business 125 years ago, and it just went bankrupt. Mr. President, Mr. CEO, you just put 100,000 people out of work. Now, I don't want to really blame you, but I can't help but talk about it a little. I feel it's my responsibility. Now, the CEO of Sears is a fellow named Eddie Lambert. He just stepped down from the CEO when they put it in bankruptcy. This guy has to be a genius. He put together a hedge fund that I think was basically based on real estate hedge fund. This is taking people's money and making investments. And he came in and he bought Sears. Huge, huge purchase. Huge, huge purchase. The guy must be a genius. And I'm impressed. I have to tell you how I met him?
I didn't even know you knew him.
Ah, this is a fun story. Goes back, I'm at PVH. I just became the CEO. Phillips Van Heusen, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, that company. I just became the CEO. And I get an inviting to a meeting being set up in Chicago, which was Sears' home base at the time. I think it still is. And the new CEO, this guy named Eddie Lambert, calls together the power brokers of the industry to come to Sears to meet with him, and he'd like to present the new vision for Sears and Kmart. It was on a Thursday. The problem was Friday I was flying away on vacation. So how do I go to Sears and get home on Thursday night to go on vacation and fly away on Friday? It was really tough. But I had to show my face. If nothing else, I'm the new CEO. I felt a responsibility. And tonight's show, Rank has its privileges. You got to have a responsibility. So I'm invited. I'm going. So I was clever. I figured out how to get there. But the key to going on vacation was that I had to leave by 6:30 to get to the airport to meet my family and be home in time. So here's what I do. I fly into Chicago at 2 o'clock, and I go to the hotel where they're having the reception, where Eddie Lampert is going to put all these people together in a room. And I check in. And then this is where I get smart. So I ask the manager to take me to the meeting room. So I go and I look at the layout of the room. When I look at the layout of the room, I see there are tables right up front, and I think I find the perfect table in the back with an exit door near it. And I say to myself, you know what I'm going to do? When this guy Lambert starts to speak, somewhere along the way while he's talking, I will disappear out the back and nobody will be the wiser and I can go and do what I had to do. But I'm there because I have a rank. I'm CEO and I have to do what I have to do. I have the responsibility. So what do? I go to the front table. Where do I find my name? I'm right up front, right in front of the microphone. I take my place card. I bring it with me to the back room, to the back of the room with the table I want, and take my place card, put it right there, and take the place card of the person sitting there and put it in the front. Smart?
Seems like it would make sense.
Yeah,
unless
right.
He knows the layout of the room.
No, you got to figure someone laid it out for him, and, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So I get there at 6 o'clock. I don't know who anyone is from Sears because I'm new to this. You know, I didn't have big business with Sears, but, you know, I didn't know the players. Everyone else is there. Shake hands. Everybody sits down. I sit down. Okay? First guy to get up and speak is Eddie Lambert, the new CEO of Sears, Kmart, and the merger. Makes his speech, 15 minutes. I don't have to leave yet. Great. Did I tell you that I'm sitting in the back table and the seat next to me is empty?
No.
Did I tell you I didn't look at what the place card said on the seat next to me?
No.
Eddie Lampert. Instead of me sitting in the back where I could escape, Sears CEO, the guy who invited me to the meeting, is sitting right next to me.
Why is he back there?
That's where he chose to sit.
Oh, my gosh.
So look what I did. This is my plan to escape, and it was embarrassing at least. Maybe at the best embarrassing, and at one point I had to tell him that I had to leave early, but I came to see him, that the company was behind him all the way. But I thought that was a clever plan that got laid to rest. Funny, right?
Yeah. Some James Bond you are.
Yeah, exactly. But really, what do I want to talk to you about Sears? Sears was one of the greatest retailers of all time. Sears, like JCPenney, had a catalog long before the internet was ever envisioned. They were talking directly to consumers. They had a book that was inches thick, 3, 4, 5 inches thick, that they sent in the mail to hundreds of thousands, millions of people with their selections. And people would pick and call the catalog offices and they'd have that merchandise shipped to their home. Not unlike the internet, just not as smooth and costly making all those books. But nonetheless, they were brilliant at it. Sears was well known for their brands. Sears invented brands. And what made Sears special was home goods. They had the best. No one could compete with their hard goods. Sears tractors, lawnmowers, under the name Craftsman, Sears Craftsman. They had an amazing reputation. Frigidaire for refrigerators. They had the best hard goods department. What they made special was somebody comes in looking for a garden hose, they'll also look for apparel. And that's what they worked on also. They had a huge apparel division. Huge. And they constantly were looking for brands to upgrade it. And Sears' own label was respected by many. At one point, they bought the brand Land's End. It was a classy catalog operation. And it was an amazing, amazing retailer putting these amazing thoughts together. My first trip to Sears was to pitch them on a private label program. Sears had a private label, whatever their name was called. I had the ability to design and manufacture. I wanted to sell them. And in those days, Sears would purchase from third parties for their own brands. And it was a big, big business and a big, big opportunity. And we and my company weren't selling Sears yet. We were selling JCPenney and they were competitors, but there was no question they had to admire what we're doing. I met at the time with the general merchandise manager of Sears. And he was good enough and nice enough to grant me an appointment in his offices. And I sat down with him and told him about the company and told him how important it would be for us to sell them. I was the head of the dress shirt division. I thought we made better dress shirts than anyone else. Our prices were sharp. I knew how important fashion was. I knew how well we were doing around the country with our brands, and we would bring that fashion to them. And this guy looked at me, and I never forgot it. He wasn't pompous. He was serious, but he wanted to make a point. And he said to me as follows, Mark, I appreciate you coming here. I appreciate you wanting to sell Sears. I would appreciate it more if you offered me the Van Heusen brand for the company you work for. I recognize that you're not going to do that because you don't think that brand would do well in Sears. You're wrong. If we had that brand, we'd sell millions and millions of dozens. But we also know if you put our brand in Sears, you might not be able to sell the finer department stores. So let's put this conversation in perspective. I have a brand. It's my own brand that I own. I have a choice of designing and sourcing and making it myself or giving folks like yourself the opportunity to sell into it. Now, why do I need you? Yes, you might have better fashion. Yes, you might think you have better quality, but I assure you, the importance of Sears in dress shirts, trust me, we have all the access to all the things we possibly need. But I want to tell you a more important story. He takes out a picture of the dress shirt department in Sears, and next to it, he takes out a picture of the sportswear department in the Sears. And he points to two rows on the end. He said, there are people that come to Sears and their whole life is about selling us those two rows. If you are a salesman or you are a company and you can sell those two rows to Sears, your life is made. Your future is set. Your family will go to college. Your children will go to whatever school they want. There's so much money selling Sears, those two rows. And with all due respect, Mark, you come here trying to sell me product to my own brand, but you won't offer me your brand. You're not getting those two rows.
Wow.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
I respected him to the ends of the earth. I thought it was a great conversation. And it's an important conversation tonight because I'm talking about responsibility and the responsibility for Sears. Sears just declared bankruptcy. They're going to close hundreds of stores on top of the hundreds of stores they closed. And they're putting 100,000 people out of work is the guesstimate. Where was the responsibility of the management team to get this right? I'll tell you right away, the first thing everyone scratched their head was Sears buying Kmart. You ever hear of Kmart?
I know what Kmart is, yeah.
What is it?
It's the store from Rain Man.
Where he bought him his T-shirts and underwear?
Yeah.
That's what you remember?
No, I know what Kmart is, of course.
Kmart was a discount store whose time has come. Whose time had come. Let's face it, they just weren't relevant anymore. There are stores out there you never heard of. Woolworth, you ever hear of Woolworth?
Sounds like it belongs in London.
Montgomery Ward?
No, I don't know that one.
These are big retail chains that the management didn't take their responsibility seriously enough, or the people that put management in place didn't pick the right people, and they went bankrupt. Kmart was the fifth horse in a three-horse race, and Sears bought them.
I like
that. It's the beginning of the end.
I like that expression.
Yeah, okay. That's why I get paid the big bucks. So between the two rows and the three-horse race, Sears was making a lot of mistakes, on top of which, with all due respect to Mr. Lambert, who I am sure is a genius, what did he know about running Sears or Kmart? Nothing. What did he know about picking the right talent? I'm not sure. Where was Sears bored along the way? I'm not sure. How could a retailer of this size, with these brands, with this leadership, with the idea that you can get people coming and going, you can get them for apparel, you can get them for your brands and hard goods. It was one of the world's great retailers. They're ahead of the world in that catalog. They had millions and millions of people's names. Do you know what a retailer would pay for millions and millions of names right to their door, their addresses, their phone numbers, their likes and dislikes? Billions. And Sears is going bankrupt. Now, they'll come out of bankruptcy, I'm sure. They'll never be the same. They'll never have the same products. I'm sure the inventory is starved, and I don't know what's going to be in the future of Sears. But on a show that's named Always in Fashion, how can I not talk about it? And in an evening where we're talking about rank has its privileges. You do well, you're entitled to everything. But it also has its responsibilities. And I got to say, whoever's been involved in managing Sears forgot what their job was, and they failed. Sears is bankrupt. With that, I'll take a break. I'll be back in a minute.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's downtown in New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Is it late enough for you to come and stay over? Cause we're free to love, so tease me. Ooh. I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything. Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Tonight.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
Tonight.
This is Mark Weber, this is Always in Fashion, and we're talking business tonight. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking, the name of the show tonight is RHIP, Rank Has Its Privileges. You do well in business life, you have a great life. I talked before, I've had success in business, and I am thrilled by it. And I won't apologize for my success in spite of whatever mood goes on in this country. I worked hard, I earned it the hard way. Nobody gave me anything. My success is because this country provided a system for which we all can operate. We all have equal chances of making something of ourselves. We can. But with that success you may achieve comes tremendous responsibility. And that responsibility, my friends, is what it's all about. When you work for a company, your job is to make the company successful. That's all you should be focused on. Everything else around you, all the pleasantries, all the people, all the niceties, all the tasks, all the chores, all the time being spent, there's only one reason to be doing it. It's to create success in the company you're working for. There are lenders, people who invest their money with you in your company. There are banks who lend money to your company. There are people that buy your stock. There are insurance funds. There are pension plans buying the company's stock for only one reason: to have a secure investment. And when they invest in your company, they're investing in you. They're banking on the idea that you know what you're doing, and that whatever benefits you have from the company, you also recognize the tremendous responsibility that you have to deliver on behalf of those people who've trusted you. With that in mind, I've had a fun night tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Tonight's show is called Rank Has Its Privileges, but with it comes tremendous responsibility. And with that responsibility, I hope you enjoyed our show, and I'll talk to you again soon. This is Mark Weber, and I will never apologize for success, because success is always in fashion.
Magic is in the air, there ain't no science here, so come get your everything.
Tonight.
I made no promises, I can't do golden rings, but I'll give you everything.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. Tune in tomorrow at 5 p.m.
This show was sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.